to 10. Be patient, then, brothers, until the Lord's coming. See how the farmer waits for the land to yield its valuable crop and how patient he is for the autumn and spring rains. You too, be patient and stand firm because the Lord's coming is near. Don't grumble against each other, brothers, or you will be judged. The judge is standing at the door. Brothers, as an example of patience in the face of suffering, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. The second reading is taken from Matthew 11, verses 2 to 11. When John heard in prison what Christ was doing, he sent his disciples to ask him, "Are you the one who come, or should we expect someone else?" Jesus replied, "Go back and report to John what you hear and see. The blind receive sight, the lame walk, those who have leprosy are cured, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the good news is preached to the poor. Blessed is the man who does not fall away on account of me." As John's disciples were leaving, Jesus began to speak to the crowd about John. "What did you go out into the desert to see? A reed swayed by the wind? If not, what did you go out to see? A man dressed in fine clothes? No, those who wear fine clothes are in king's palaces." "Then when did they go out to see? A prophet? Yes, I tell you, and more than a prophet. This is the one about whom it is written, 'I will send my messengers ahead of you, who will prepare your way before you.' I tell you the truth, among those born of women, there has not risen anyone greater than John the Baptist. Yet he who is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he." This is the word of the Lord.
I just pray briefly for Ian. Lord, we just thank you for the words that you've put on his heart to help prepare us for this Christmas time. Lord, open our hearts to receive those words. Open our minds to take them in, to remember them. But Lord, keep them deep within us so that we are better prepared to serve you today and the weeks and months ahead. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Andrew, and thank you, Helen, for reading those two readings. At Christmas time, there were two remarkable babies. Jesus, of course, is the one who gets all the headlines and the coverage. But John the Baptist, 6 months earlier, also had a remarkable birth. His parents were, in some ways, a bit like Abraham and Sarah, who we were thinking of a fortnight ago. They were well past the normal age of pregnancy. They were childless, and they grieved because they had no children. In a way, John the Baptist, you could say, was a bit like Samuel. Do you remember little Samuel in the house, the temple with Eli? Samuel was a child born of prayer and longing, and his mother Hannah was praying for a child. You could even say that John the Baptist was a little bit like Samson, a wild child, but dedicated to God from birth because of the angel, a Nazirite taking a vow from birth. So I'm sure when John the Baptist was born, people were saying, "What will this child be? How will he turn out? What's going to happen?" There was that sense of expectation. And when we come to that second reading that Helen read, our reading from Matthew, Jesus places John the Baptist as the climax of the Old Testament. "Among those born of women," said Jesus, and that kind of covers everybody, doesn't it, when you think about it? "Among those born of women, there has not risen anyone greater than John the Baptist." So as Andrew said, if the first candle is for the patriarchs like Abraham and Sarah and their descendants, and if the second candle is for the prophets like Isaiah, for example, that we were hearing about last week, then the third candle is for the herald of glad tidings, John the Baptizer. And his message was one of repentance and preparation. The Messiah is on his way. The kingdom of God is coming. It's near. And the first reading that Helen read, James, in his letter to the church, is thinking about the coming of the Lord. He's actually thinking about the return of Jesus, his second coming. But as we saw last week with prophecy, the key thing with prophecy is the common theme running throughout. That's more important than the place in history, the date on the calendar and so on. So that means I'm going to take verse 8 in James's letter as my key verse for today. Be patient and stand firm because the Lord's coming is near. I wonder, just listening to that, can you see how that applies to both, to Jesus' first coming and to his second coming? So, be patient and stand firm because the Lord's coming is near. Let me just take that in three bits. First of all, be patient. I don't know about you, are you a patient person? Does that happen very easily for you? Because I think our society doesn't value patience much today. Most people want things quickly, don't they? Maybe if you work with people or with customers or clients or whatever, you get a bit of that in your face. We want Christmas to begin early, don't we? And we want probably to finish early as well, actually. Advent is almost entirely forgotten these days, except in the churches, isn't it? And it's counter-cultural, Advent. And the pressure of commercial society is immense, isn't it? This week, Jane and I were driving in London. Or rather, we weren't quite driving. We were sitting in blockages and traffic jams and things like that. And we got honked from behind and we got pressed in on from both sides by buses and lorries and things. And it was all push, push, push. Maybe you've had some of that this week as well. Patience is in short supply, isn't it, these days? I think John the Baptist actually struggled with that. Our reading from Matthew, John the Baptist was in prison. He probably had long hours to twiddle his thumbs, and he wavered a bit. Are you the one, Jesus, or should we wait for someone else? He wasn't sure anymore. He didn't really know what was coming, what the future held. Perhaps he had one set of expectations for what the kingdom of God would look like, what the future would be like. And when he didn't see that, what he expected, when he didn't see that appearing, perhaps he got a little bit impatient and unsure. Be patient, says James. It's been 2,000 years since the birth of Jesus, and still the world is full of injustice, suffering, sin, and death. How long, O Lord, how long? Be patient, says James. With the Lord, 1,000 years are like a day, says Peter. Be patient, they both say, and wait for the Lord's coming. Stand firm is James's second command to his readers. Jesus clearly thinks very highly of John the Baptist, his cousin. And so Jesus gives John what he needed to help him to stand firm. He needed the evidence that Jesus was the Messiah. So Jesus told John's followers, go back to him and tell him this: the blind receive their sight, the lame walk, the dead are raised, and so on and so forth. Now, John knows the scriptures. John knows what the prophets had written. He knows that these are the signs of the kingdom. And so this evidence will lift his faith. In a way, I think John's own message a little earlier to the crowds who came down to be baptized John's message was similar, wasn't it? Strengthen your faith in God. Stand firm in faith. Prepare for his coming, for the coming of the Lord. John's call to repent in the scriptures means literally to change your thinking. Change the way you think. The equivalent Hebrew word that he might have actually uttered means to turn around and go in the opposite direction. Do you remember the parable of the sower? The sower who went out to sow his seed, and the seed fell on different types of soil, on the path, rocky ground, and so on. But his seed needed to put down deep roots into the soil. Otherwise, it would wither and die. And similarly, our faith needs to be deep rooted in Jesus. Otherwise, the world, the flesh, and the devil will conspire to wither it and kill it. James warns his readers. He warns them, actually, don't grumble in verse 9, because he says you'll be judged for it if you do. So tempting, isn't it, to have a good moan every now and then. We love to blame other people and perhaps occasionally get a bit defensive about ourselves and what we've done. Personally, I'm an expert at making my wife Jane look as if it's all her fault. I mean, okay, it makes us feel a little better for a moment, but it destroys relationships, doesn't it? Ask yourself, what dangers does your faith face today? Because modern life is so hectic, isn't it? It's full of distractions and full of all sorts of things that we have to do and have to get done and so on, that faith in God faces competition from all sides. One of the seeds that the sower sowed, it grew up amongst thorns and thistles and weeds, competing with it, other competing distractions. Then again, why should we stand firm? What's the motivation? What's the point? What's the reason for it? The Lord's coming is near. That's why, says James. That's the reason. Because the Lord's coming is near. And James imagines the farmer ploughing his field and sowing the seed, and then, of course, the farmer has to wait. He has to wait for months, doesn't he? He watches the rains fall. He feels the warmth of the sun on his back. But he waits. He stands firm because he knows that the harvest will come. It's near. Be patient and stand firm, says James, because the Lord's coming is near. The judge is standing at the door. He's on the way. Now, maybe the prophets were tempted to throw in the towel sometimes. They got a lot of flack for the things that they said. But they stood firm. And many of them suffered and even died for speaking truth to power. It's a great phrase, that, isn't it? But that was what the prophets were called to do, to speak to kings and to rulers and so on. And in the book of Hebrews and in the book of Revelation, the prophets are honoured for their sacrifice, for standing firm in their faith. Some of them wavered a little occasionally, but they stood firm by and large. And John the Baptist, too, that we're thinking about today. Jesus said, you went out to see a prophet? Yes, John the Baptist was a prophet and more than a prophet. If you like, the climax of Old Testament prophecy. So John is amongst their number, and he too suffered and died for his faith very soon after this story. Stand firm, because the Lord's coming is near. Our faith is not about the church or any sort of human institution or construction. Our faith is about the Lord Jesus. We don't want you to have faith in the church, because, to be honest, the church lets people down. And I think most of us who know anything about it would agree with that. Our faith is in Jesus. It's Jesus that we believe in and that we follow. In the new year, we'll be offering several courses, not in being a churchgoer, that's not what it's about, but in being a disciple of Jesus, a follower of the Lord. How can we be patient and stand firm because the Lord's coming is near? Well, maybe you can guess. There are lots of ways, aren't there? But learning about God's word in the Bible, for example. Reviewing our giving, as another example. Asking how we can bear fruit for God. How we can pray to him. How we can follow Jesus more closely. And we'll be praying the Lord's Prayer. Your kingdom come, Lord, on earth as it is in heaven. And we may even find that the answer involves us, just a little bit.